हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासरि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay. Three modes of material nature. No goodness, sattva, activity, rajas, and darkness, tamas, to be the three qualities of the self, with which the Great One always completely pervades all existence. These are the qualities, vritti, these are the qualities of the false conditioned ideality of self. The Great One is the Mahat, or the material energy. Okay, so the Mahat then pervades all existences, because there, that is your element of the, as we were discussing, the element of the where the Lord has expanded or defined, you could say, how everything functions in the primary creation. So this is the universal form. So the universal form pervades everything, right? So the universal form then is functioning by these three modes. It means this is how our interaction is, right? So the original form of how the Lord interacts with his internal potency, right? On the Brahman platform, but then you have the external manifestation of that, right? So that, therefore, then the living entity identifying with that, that's false identity, and that therefore produces the external form, the gross body, the subtle body and the gross body, right? So then here we get so the Great One here, we understand, is then not the living entity, right? So it's a different Purusha, right? You know, much to the dismay of the, what do you call it, the Shankyites, right? Because they're thinking that they, as the individual Purusha, are the Mahat, right? You know, the Great One. But actually, they're not actually. It means the soul is great, but not that great. Right? Not that kind of great, let's say. When one of these qualities wholly predominates in a body, then it makes the embodied soul eminently distinguished for that quality, right? So when that particular quality is there, it's one of the things to remind him that the kids are still around. His broom comes falling out of the wall. Like that. Okay, so even in samadhi doesn't mean the kids won't harass you. Okay.
Mark?
Yes.
Holy predominates the body means one of the gunas are dominant.
It means you have that element if it's in its more pure state. It means it's in its prominence. But we know that no guna is there on its own because anyway it requires the others to act, you know, and act to function, as was described before. Is that when one's there, then it gives rise to the other two separating, you know, like that. So depending upon what the mode is predominant in the body, that's how that body is identified, right? Does that make sense? Goodness is declared to have the form of knowledge, darkness of ignorance, activity of love and hatred. Such is the nature of these three, which is all-pervading and clings to everything created. Right? It means there's nothing that is not functioning under the control of the motes of nature. Right? It means transcendental, yes, but still the forms, the material elements are all functioning through the modes of nature. Right? So it's still, it runs, but the difference is then it's serving. Right? If you have a great sage, right, he's transcendental to the modes, means the soul is transcendental, but his body is still managed by the three modes. But instead of being something that binds him, now that's the external energy service that she takes care and takes every, however Krishna wants him taken care, she arranges it. Right? So that way then Krishna directly takes care. Okay. So here also interesting activity of love and hatred. Because the activity is there, but it's love and hatred. Goodness is knowledge. So activity may be there, but it's through knowledge. Right? Does that make sense? Like that. So that's how you identify. Because you're doing it because you want something, or you're doing it because you have a problem with something. There's always that element. That's how you tell passion. Not that somebody's active, or somebody's very active, or even he's very making a lot, using a lot of energy. You know, we'd say, oh, very passionate. No, is there's love and hatred. That's how you define it. Right? Does that make sense? Because someone may just be very, you know, very active or very powerful. And so they do a lot of things, but it's not necessarily that that therefore defines it as passion, right? Does that make sense? You can say activity is there, but the point is once one's controlled by Rajagun, then there's love and hatred. But otherwise, movement goes on through passion. Passion sees to that.
In the morning we mentioned that in the Niti that woman acts, and she manages the husband and all people. So that's mode of passion?
No, there the example was given. Yeah, it means there's that because there's love and hatred, you could say. But the example was given that in the moment you have to use your intelligence and work with what you have at the moment. That's what the Niti was saying. Right?
So, she's on the mode or she's working with...
No. But, I mean, saying the understand means the point is being given by Niti is one thing.
Yeah.
If you're using that as an example of something else, but then why use that one? Because that example is already being used in one way. You know what I'm saying? If you're saying a person is acting out of attachment, you know what I'm saying? In other words, does that make sense? You're acting out of attachment like that, depending upon if it's according to what you should be doing or what's correct, then it's love and hatred, then it'll be passion or ignorance, right? You know what I'm saying? Because the kings, they know they're not their body, but it's still passion. Right? Does that make sense? Well, someone else may be acting in its ignorance because they don't know if they're the body or not and everything. Does that make sense? When a man experiences in his soul a feeling full of bliss, a deep calm, as it were, and a pure light, then let him know that it is among those three the quality called goodness. Right. Pure light indicates an enlightening experience. What is mixed with pain and does not give satisfaction to the soul, one may know to be the quality of activity, right, of passion, which is difficult to conquer, and which ever draws embodied souls towards sensual objects. Right, so the mode of passion always draws one towards sensual objects, but it also always creates pain. Right? It means there'll be the element of happiness, but it'll also create pain. Right? Like that. And it doesn't give satisfaction. So the one is there's deep calm. You know, there's a bliss. There's that. That's goodness. Then if it's creating dissatisfaction, you know, it's creating pain, that is passion. What is coupled with delusion, what has the character of an indiscernible mass, what cannot be fathomed by reasoning, what cannot be fully known, one must consider as the quality of darkness. Right? So it's just one can't understand what's going on, what's happening, that's ignorance asking. Right? In other words, there's satisfaction and all that, that's goodness. There's disturbance because of interacting with, you know, with the senses and the sense objects, that's passion. You can't even really understand what's happening, that's ignorance. Results arising from the three modes. I will, moreover, fully describe the results which arise from these three qualities. the excellent ones, the middling ones, and the lowest. The study of the Vedas, austerity, right, which means performance of one's duties, the pursuit of knowledge, purity, control over the organs, the performance of meritorious acts, and meditation on the soul are the marks of the quality of goodness. Right? In other words, you're studying the Vedas, you're trying to get knowledge from that, you're performing your duties, you're pure, controlling the organs, right, doing the proper work. See, these are, and seeing that it's meditating on the soul here, so it gives here the supreme, like that. Delighting in undertakings, want of firmness, commission of sinful acts, and continual indulgence in sensual pleasures are the marks of the quality of activity. Right? You love to start something, but it's not necessarily to finish it. Right? Take up something new. Yeah, great, yeah, like this. So that's the mode of passion. Right? One of firmness, because going that way, but you may make adjustments, because there's the element of sense gratification. Right? So if that's there, then there's the thing, you may adjust it for that. Right? Commission of sinful acts, because then the sinful act means you're going to be performing something, in other words, to get some benefit from it for yourself. Right? Continual indulgence in sensual pleasures, you know, so then that's what we would generally categorize as the mode of passion. Right? So sometimes you wouldn't think of delighting in undertakings in one of firmness or commission of sinful acts generally, we would take that like that. Covetousness, sleepiness, pusillanimity, lacking courage or resolution, cruelty, atheism, leading an evil life, a habit of soliciting favors, and inattentiveness are the marks of the quality of darkness. Right. Know, moreover, the following to be a brief description of the three qualities, each in its order, as they appear in the three times, the present, past, and future. When a man, having done, doing, or being about to do any act, feels ashamed, the learned may know that all such acts bear the mark of the quality of darkness. Right? Whenever whatever you've done, you're going to do, or are doing now, and you feel ashamed, that's the mode of ignorance. But when a man desires to gain by an act much fame in this world and feels no sorrow on failing, know that it bears the mark of the quality of activity. Right? Failing an act may indicate unsuccessful, complete, or non-completion. Feeling no sorrow on failing refers to not contemplating how to improve the quality of one's activities. The mode of passion, one's purpose, is recognition, and as such, despite failure, one may feel, well, at least I tried. You know, so there's the element of that. Because in another place it mentions that if you do something and it doesn't work out, you don't berate yourself. You just figure out what to do and move on. But here is they don't means that he doesn't mind if it fails, because finishing it isn't so much the point. It's like starting it or being recognized for it. Right? Does that make sense? Yes.
But usually we consider passionate people, they want the results. They strive.
So then the point is are they actually passionate? You know what I'm saying? We've defined anything that there's a lot of any energy as passion. But here it's mentioned what passion is. Delighting in undertakings, one of firmness, commission of sinful acts, and continual indulgence in sensual pleasures. That's passion. You know what I'm saying? Because we have, it's just like, if the person is, you know, always, you know, gets angry easy, loves to fight, like that, then we'll say, oh, he's a Kshatriya. No, that's a Shudra. Right? Because it says here, covetousness, sleepiness, lack of cruelty, atheism, you know, like that. It's a Shudra, you know, so he'll be a bouncer. Then that's not a Kshatriya, that's a bouncer. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? It's different. So sometimes we have this idea, passion just means, but passion means you're doing it for the result. But the point is what is the result? You know what I'm saying? Means the result may be to get the item, but the idea is for sex gratification, or it's just to get recognition.
Can be both.
Can be both.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Maybe because it's also mixed.
That's there, but no, but here's, by an act much fame in this world, you know, they want to become famous, they want to be known, they want to be this, that, so that's there. The point is what you're talking there is mixed, is that they're performing the duty and getting and going till they get the result at the end. That means they have the determination, that so there must be some goodness. Okay, so kings, it's goodness and passion. A Shudras, it's passion and ignorance. So fame is all they're looking for. If it gets profit, that they can go through. But in other areas that aren't business, they'll do something just to get fame. They don't care if it actually happens, as long as they're famous for it. You know, if they get famous that they're a very charitable man, even though they've never given any charity, they're satisfied. Does that make sense? You know, so that.
Another one, shame. Like if you still conditioned, sometimes you do feel shame when you act not improperly, but you know when you overreact on something, you don't control your senses so much. You feel shame, so it's.
But in comparison to what?
It mentioned here.
Yeah, so that means that activity itself was controlled by ignorance. Otherwise, why would you feel ashamed of it? Doesn't mean you're now contemplating it, thinking that was wrong and all that, because then you're either looking at it from knowledge or something else, right? But when it happened, that was controlled by ignorance. But that bears the mark of the quality of goodness, which with his whole heart he desires to know, which he is not ashamed to perform, and at which his soul rejoices. Right? The craving after sensual pleasures is declared to be the mark of darkness. The pursuit of wealth, the mark of activity. The desire to gain spiritual merit, the mark of goodness. Each latter named quality is better than the preceding one. Right? Because craving after sensual pleasures it doesn't necessarily mean you're performing the proper work. You know what I'm saying? Because motive passion means you're doing the correct work. You just want the results for yourself. Instead of that, this is what you're supposed to do. Right? And if you want for yourself and it's what you're supposed to do, then it's goodness and passion. Threefold course of transmigration. I will briefly declare in due order what transmigrations in this whole world a man obtains to each of these qualities. Right. Those endowed with goodness reach the state of gods. Those endowed with activity, the state of men. Those endowed with darkness ever sink to the condition of beasts. That is the threefold course of transmigrations. Right. Quite simple. Right. But know this threefold course of transmigrations that depend on the three qualities to be again threefold. Low, middling, and high, according to the particular nature of the acts and of the knowledge of each man, right? In other words, goodness, passion, ignorance, each one will have three levels. Goodness of goodness, passion of goodness, ignorance of goodness, right? You know, goodness of passion, passion of passion, ignorance of passion, like that. Does that make sense? Darkness. Okay. Immovable things, insects, both small and great, fishes, snakes, tortoises, cattle, and wild animals are the lowest conditions to which the quality of darkness leads. Right? So that's ignorance of ignorance. Right? Okay? Immovable beings, because they'll be the most, right, you know, they don't even move around, right? Insects, great and small, because they're very less consciousness there. Fishes, snakes, tortoises, cattle, and wild animals. Okay, elephants, horses, despicable Shudras, barbarians, lions, tigers, and boars. The bears didn't make it. Lions and tigers and boars. Okay, yeah. Are the middling states caused by the quality of darkness. Despicable Shudras are non-Aryans, and barbarians are Malechas. So, at least we weren't in the ignorance of ignorance, right? We moved up. We're better than the bugs and fishes, right? Charanas, Suparnas, and hypocrites. Rakshasas and Paisachas belong to the highest rank of conditions amongst those produced by darkness. No. Well, maybe if you're a hypocrite, but the hypocrite means you can't be of despicable shooters and barbarians. You have to be of within the what do you call it? The proper Varnashram system, but you're a hypocrite, right? Charners are the celestial dancers, Suparnas are celestial birds, and Paisachas are ghosts. Right? Rakshasas don't need introduction. They make themselves well known. Right? Passion. Galas, malas, natas, men who subsist by despicable occupations, and those addicted to gambling and drinking form the lowest order of conditions caused by activity. Right? Remember, galas, malas, and natas were fallen kshatriyas. Kshatriyas have given up their duties and then taken up these occupations. Gullas are clowns and those who make a public display of stick fighting. Mullas are professional wrestlers and mercenaries, and natas are actors. Right? These are despicable occupations as they are dishonorable, because people don't deal with you so nicely all the time. You know, you maybe if you become famous, then they'll deal with you a little bit better, but even still, no one really deals with any of these people really that nicely.
Celebrities? Actors?
How many of them are there? Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Out of Hollywood's probably got tens of thousands of people there, and we know, what, 10, 20? You know what I'm saying? So that's it's not a good occupation. Right. Kings and kshatriyas, the domestic priests of kings. And those who delight in the warfare of disputations constitute the middling rank of the states caused by activities. Right? Those who delight in the warfare of disputations are logicians and warriors, right? So kings, kshatriyas, the domestic priests of kings, because they're always absorbed in what's happening, you know, in the palace, all the different things they have to give advice, always there. Otherwise, why would they be comfortable being there? Right? And then also then those Brahmins who love to, fight, you know, in arguments and things like that. The Gandharvas, the Guhyakas, Yakshas, and the servants of the gods, likewise the Apsaras, belong to the highest rank of the conditions produced by activities.
Did you say earlier that in ignorance the cattle were in that category? Because we were always told that the cattle were sort of like more in goodness.
Means the body is controlled by goodness, but the soul's in ignorance. The body is controlled by goodness. Means why? What?
We were just trying to tell that cattle were like more in the matter of goodness, tigers, lions, murder, passion.
No, it means coming into the human species from these things, then that's how it'll work. But it's not that means the body is controlled. It means what's the cow, the soul or the body? So the body may be controlled by goodness, but to be in that situation, you would have to be... Means elephants and horses. Means do you see cows on the battlefield? No. But elephants, horses, they're cool on the battlefield. Like that. Lions, tigers, and boars. Right? They're you don't mess with them. Like that. You know. And even though you don't mess with wild buffaloes, but still they're in ignorance, those guys, really ignorant. So. Okay, goodness. Hermits, ascetics, brahmanas, the crowds of the Vaimanika deities, the lunar mansions, and the daityas form the first and lowest rank of the existences caused by goodness. Okay, hermits means your vanaprastas, sannyasis, brahmins, then the crowd, the Vaimanika deities are celestials who move about in airplanes, celestial airplanes. The lunar mansions are the 28 nakshatras, and the daityas are sophisticated celestial demons, right? The sons of Diti, right? They're not the rakshasas and the more heavy ones. Those are the danavas. Mm-hmm. Right? sacrificers, the sages, the gods, the personified Vedas, the heavenly lights, the years, the manes, and the sadhyas constitute the second order of existences caused by goodness. Okay, sacrifices, those who perform yajnas, and that's what their way that their lifestyle. Sages, okay, personified Vedas, they live with Lord Brahma. The heavenly lights, okay, manes are the forefathers. Sadhyas are the leaders of the various groups of higher beings. Kuvera is like the leader of the yakshas. So whoever is the head of that particular group, they're the sadhyas. Okay. The sages declare Brahma, the creators of the universe, the law, the great one, and the indiscernible one, to constitute the highest order of beings produced by goodness. Like, so Lord Brahma, the Prajapatis, the Dharma itself, Dharma Shastra itself, the great one, the Mahat, right, and the indiscernible one, Pradhan. These are goodness of goodness. Okay. Yes.
So is it correct that the sages are actually, even though they're born in the earth or, you know, Bhuloka, are in a superior position than the Gandharvas or Apsaras, who are born out of passion, even though they're in a higher realm, technically?
Yeah. Yeah, because that's the results of their activity, but the point is you're only burning off the activity. Uh-huh. You know, so the position is... Because they're in antariksha. They're not in swarga. No. Like that. But it also would mean sages, like the great sages on the you know, Satya Loka planets, you know, on Janatapa and Satya Mahar. That means those would also include them. But otherwise, if you have some great personalities here, then that also would include. Thus, the result of the threefold action, the whole system of transmigrations, which consists of three classes, each with three subdivisions, and which includes all created beings, has been fully pointed out. Right? So now you can see what modes are the predominant elements, because that's what is... Topic 24, the result of good and bad action. See, the cows, what they're there, and they produce milk. Right, so that's very important in the Brahminical society, because the milk then is used for offerings, for sacrifice. It refines the brain tissues. So, like this, it's very important for Brahminical. So that's why cows are important. Does that make sense? Doesn't make sense.
Yeah. Again, I mean that. It makes sense, but then why is that aspect of the that the cow is milk, that it's not considered, that the body is not considered in the mode of goodness?
The body is in the mode of goodness, I already said that.
But the living entity is in ignorance because it's...
Why are they a cow? Right? It means if you went from human life to cow, is that a step up? Your human life to a sage or something forward, that's progressive. The cow is just there. You may engage its milk in Krishna's service. The cow is not. You know what I'm saying? But the point is, it doesn't mean that they're not respectable, because of all the animals, they're the best. Right? We're not worshiping, you know, wild boars and elephants and all these. Cows we are. Because they're part of the culture, they're part of the scene. Does that make sense? So it's just that. Yeah. Yeah. Topic 24, the result of good and bad action. In consequence of attachment to the objects of the senses, and in consequence of the non-performance of their duties, the lowest of men reach the vilest births, right? So attachment to the objects of the senses and non-performance of their duties, right? Then one reaches the, you know, lower births. So that means the opposite. If you're not attached to the objects of the senses and you properly perform your duties, you'll be elevated, right? Attached to the senses, don't perform your duties, you'll be degraded, right? Because one means is goodness, so you're elevated. The other means it's not, so then you're degraded. What wombs the individual soul enters in this world, and in consequence of what actions, learn the particulars of that at large and in due order. Those who committed mortal sins, mahapataka, having passed during large numbers of years through dreadful hells, obtain after the expiration of that term of punishment the following births. Right. The slayer of a Brahmin enters the womb of a dog, a pig, an ass, a camel, a cow, a goat, a sheep, a deer, a bird, a chandala, and a pukasha. Right.
He may choose.
Hmm?
He may choose himself.
Sorry?
Can he choose himself, which one?
No. He does all of them. But, you know, it means if he has an order he prefers, then he can all that. Yeah. I mean, this is after the hells. Means you first do the hells, then you do the animal life, then you come back to the position you're in, then you can figure, then it's a matter of, you know, you want to go through that again, or you want to, you know, kind of get it together and not do that.
Do you mean he goes through all of them after?
Yes.
Killing the Brahmana?
Yes.
And the pig, the whole.
Yes.
Killing Brahmana means a person who is by nature and the person.
Say again?
Killing Brahmana means a person who is by nature a Brahmana. So him killing that Brahmana also, and the person who's taken birth in a Brahmana family, that Brahmana also. Include those Brahmanas?
Of killing a Brahmana?
Yes.
A person who has the qualities of a Brahmana,
yeah.
You kill him, that's killing a Brahmana.
Yes. And second, those who've taken birth in a Brahmana family, killing them also.
But do they have the qualities of a Brahmana?
He is not having the qualities.
He's a Brahma-bandhu. Then it'll be dropped from that.
The description before then, some hellish punishment, you're actually trained up before the animal birth.
No, that's a separate thing. You have the hellish punishment, then you have the training for the birth.
Like for a hog, how to distinguish the...
Yeah, like that.
Training in hell?
Well, you want to... there's no schools around here. I mean, in one sense there is, but, you know, nothing officially. Okay, Brahman who drinks drinks... Sura shall enter the bodies of small and large insects, of moths, of birds feeding on ordure, and of destructive beasts. Right, because those are in the mode of ignorance, as we saw before.
Sura?
Alcohol.
Okay.
Intoxication.
Right.
A Brahman who steals the gold of a Brahman shall pass 1,000 times through the bodies of spiders, snakes, and lizards, of aquatic animals, and destructive paisachas. The violator of a guru's bed enters 100 times the forms of grasses, shrubs, and creepers, likewise of carnivorous animals, and of beasts with fangs, and of those doing cruel deeds. Men who delight in doing hurt become carnivorous animals. Those who eat forbidden food, worms, thieves, creatures consuming their own kind. Those who have intercourse with women of the lowest caste, pretas. Pretas are varieties of ghosts. Like that. Pretas, I think, are the group that eats all kinds of weird stuff.
Yeah.
He who has associated with outcasts, he who approaches the wives of other men, and he who has stolen the property of a Brahmana, become Brahma-rakshasas. A man who out of greed has stolen gems, pearls or coral, or any of the many kinds of precious things, is born among the goldsmiths. For stealing grain, a man becomes a rat. For stealing bronze, a hamsa. For stealing water, a plava. For stealing honey, a stinging insect. for stealing milk, a crow, for stealing condiments, a dog, for stealing clarified butter, and ichnuman. Right. Huh? Ichnuman. A mongoose. An ichnuman is a mongoose. I always thought it was a kind of lizard. Ichnuman is a mongoose.
At least that's one.
Okay.
It's also a kind of wasp.
Okay. For stealing meat, a vulture. For stealing fat, a cormorant. Which is?
Seagull.
A seagull. Yeah, they're pretty wild when it comes to that. They're real thieves, those guys. For stealing oil, a winged animal of the kind called Tailapaka. For stealing salt, a cricket. For stealing sour milk, a bird of the kind called Balaka. For stealing silk, a partridge. For stealing linen, a frog. For stealing cotton cloth, a crane. For stealing a cow, an iguana. For stealing molasses, a flying fox.
At the time of King Riga, when he stole the cow, he became an iguana.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just.
Is there any connection between the thing that you steal and then you become something like iguana? Is there any connection?
What's linen like? You know linen?
Yeah.
Why is it preferred? What's its nature?
Soft,
silky, smooth. What's a frog like? Right? You don't get softer than a frog or more smooth than a frog, right? You know, not a toad, a frog, right? Okay. Means flying foxes, they're always eating, you know, fruit and stuff like that. Flying foxes, you know, those big bats? You know, you always see them in the kadamba trees and all that. For stealing for stealing fine perfumes, a muskrat.
That's obvious.
Yeah, okay. For stealing vegetables consisting of leaves, a peacock. For stealing cooked food of various kinds, a porcupine. For stealing uncooked food, a hedgehog. For stealing fire, he becomes a heron. For stealing household utensils, a mason wasp. For stealing dyed clothes, a Franklin partridge. For stealing a deer or an elephant, a wolf. For stealing a horse, a tiger. For stealing fruit and roots, a monkey. For stealing a woman, a bear. For stealing water, a black and white cuckoo. For stealing, so that means a female, because the males are black. For stealing vehicles, a camel. For stealing cattle, a he-goat. A man who has forcibly taken away any kind of property belonging to another or has eaten sacrificial food of which no portion had been offered inevitably becomes an animal. Women also who in like manner have committed a theft shall incur guilt. They will become the females of those same creatures which have been enumerated above. But men of the four castes who have relinquished without the pressure of necessity their proper occupations become the servants of dasyus after migrating into despicable bodies. Dasyus are outcasts. A Brahmin who has fallen off from his duty becomes an Ulkamuka Preta who feeds on what has been vomited, and a Kshatriya, a Kataputana Preta who eats impure substances and corpses. A Vaishya who has fallen off from his duty becomes a Maitrakshayokita Preta who feeds on pus, and a Sudra, a Kailasaka Preta who feeds on moths.
Is it the best
one? They're all fuzzy. In proportion as sensual men indulge in sensual pleasure, in that same proportion their taste for them grows. By repeating their sinful acts, those men of small understanding suffer pain here below in various births. Because as I mentioned, you do something, then you want to do it again. So the problem is it just decreases and gets worse and worse.
Maharaj, one person deals with life many things. So he
has
to choose
first. Yeah, he does all of it. Whatever it is. It means this is what happens if you do that one thing. Yeah. You know, if you do a whole bunch of it, then it'll, you understand why Yamaraj and them were having problems with Jagai Madai? You know, how do you keep track? It's like every moment they were doing something wrong. And they and this is, it just happens. They were doing it on purpose. They were doing it just because it's a rule. You break the rule just to break the rule. Does that make sense?
That causes a further entanglement of the jiva cycle.
Yeah. Yeah, and it just means a long time you're doing some distracting, you know, how you say. Yeah, your situations are. So for one thing, then there's the punishments, and there's the animal life, and then there's that. So if you've done so much of it, then there's so much of those things. You understand? So that's why chanting, it saves you from all this. You know, we just think, oh, chanting is no big deal. But this is the big deal, because if you're not chanting, this is what you got. You know what I'm saying? So it's a big deal. Because other things can't save you from this. Right? You do that, you know, big price, chitti and that. It may save you from this particular reaction, but it doesn't save you from the mentality. So the problem is you'll do it again. So at some point you'll end up with all this reaction. Yes?
If a man chants as a gyatu sukriti and committed some of those acts, what will be his future?
Means when they come back into the human position, depending what it is, it'll be good.
Because it is said that, you know, whoever ate prasadam, they will become humans.
Yeah.
But if they committed all those...
But it doesn't say what humans. You know, in other words, he's human, but if he's sinful, then it'll be a little lower. If he's more pious, it'll be a little higher.
That's in Prabhupada's purport to Bhagavad Gita 2:40. He says, even a little bit of devotional service can save one from the worst kinds of fear. And he says that specifically falling down into the lower birds.
I was talking about that sukriti, unknown devotional.
But I would say it will have effect, because the point is, but it's not that if the consciousness is not low that you won't be more comfortable in a lower position. You know what I'm saying? The point is that devotional service saves one from all the difficulty. You know, the exact details of all this, you know, because this is part, I mean, unless it comes up later. You know, I mean, it gets into, you know, you steal red cloth, you become the particular kind of bird that's red colored. You know, you steal not red cloth, you can come out a different color. So, I mean, it's, you have 8,400,000. This is just giving a general kind of idea. Does that make sense? So the idea is that, in other words, it's serious, the reactions on the material platform. So the point is that one should therefore be careful and properly perform one's duties. You know, and so devotional service, that's what's going to save one. So it's a matter of just perform devotional service, try to give that to others, that's what will be the best benefit. Is that okay?
Can the devotional service you're performing early in life, if you're a big sankirtan devotee doing a lot of preaching, can that protect you from things you might do later in life, but you don't get to chant again later?
It's there, but it doesn't mean one doesn't take birth again.
I mean that, but like, that's a third or something like that, you take birth as a human.
Well, it's saved from the animal species, but still not thinking of Krishna, that's not a good situation.
I was thinking, like, the devotional service could be so wonderful that it
saved you from all these things. But the point is you still have to become Krishna conscious. You know what I'm saying? So devotional service is that special. But it's not that you sit back and therefore not make any endeavor. You know, that's the point. Devotional service is that special, but it doesn't mean that it'll not nicely work out. You know, one is human life, one may get so much nice facility, this or that, but it doesn't mean that it's nice. You know what I'm saying? That's where we see the examples of someone, they have all facility, but they're not satisfied. Why? Because material life can't satisfy you. Does that make sense? Right? It's just the way it is. So someone who's intelligent understands that they have all the facility, I'm not satisfied. Right? Someone who's not as intelligent, he has all facility, he's not satisfied, he thinks he needs more, so he becomes sinful. Right? And so then he loses all opportunity of that facility. Does that make sense? So the point is one has to become Krishna conscious. That's the... Yes? No?
Yeah, it'd be safe and nice health. Which obviously
you don't intend to
become that full, and sometimes it's something leads to
that. That's another thing, that one is saved from all this, but the point is you still have to make that commitment to become Krishna conscious. Otherwise, one will just remain here. It may be, you know, better situation, but whatever the situation, it's still not going to be satisfying. You know? Yes.
You often hear about liberation. And if you do this or that, you pray to the Kanga, you give charity like this, then you become a great world tradition. So still, the jiva still has, eventually, has to take a birth and do the endeavor and give up the lower modes of nature. And that through Krishna conscious activity, it has to go that way. There is no like quick fix. Of course, Krishna, he can always...
Well, I mean, I've heard that, you know, the Vatican puts out little pieces of paper. If you spend enough, if you pay enough, then that's kind of a quick fix. But somehow or another, you know, Luther and those guys didn't appreciate it. But you know what I'm saying? The point is you have love for Krishna, then you'll be with Krishna. You don't have love for Krishna, you won't be with Krishna. You know what I'm saying? Getting liberated simply means you're not under some material difficulty. But it doesn't mean it's great. You know what I'm saying? Liberation simply means there's no material problem. But devotional service means it's positive absorption in Krishna. So we're cultivating devotional service. Getting out of the material world, that's just a side thing. Because if you're going to be with Krishna, you're going to have to be out of the material world. But we're not focused on getting out of the material world. We're focused on serving Krishna. Does that make sense?
Isn't that what the Ajamila pastime illustrates at the end? Is that chanting the holy name didn't take him back to Godhead? It gave him the opportunity.
Yes. Because the point is, he chanted the holy name, so it was offenseless, but it wasn't in pure love. Mm-hmm. So only pure love will take you, you know, so therefore. Does that make sense? Because he wasn't even chanting it with the idea in pursuance of pure love. Mm-hmm. He was just chanting it because he wanted to see his son. Mm-hmm. But his son happened to be called Narayan. You know?
That is
Namabhas. Yes, Namabhas. So the point is therefore, then he was freed from all those difficulties. Right? Is that work? By repeating their sinful acts, those men of small understanding suffer pain here, below, in various births, the torture being tossed about in dreadful hells, Tamisra and the rest, that of the forest with sword-leaved trees and the like, that of being bound and mangled, various torments, the pain of being devoured by ravens and owls, the heat of scorching sand, and the torture of being boiled in jars, which is hard to bear. And bursts in the wombs of despicable beings, which cause constant misery and afflictions from cold and heat, and terrors of various kinds. The pain of repeatedly lying in various wombs and agonizing births, imprisonment and fetters hard to bear, and the misery of being enslaved by others, and separations from their relatives and dear ones, and the pain of dwelling together with the wicked, right? Because it's always those you want to be with, you're separated from. Those you don't want to be with, you always end up with. And gaining wealth and its loss, trouble in making friends and the appearance of enemies, right? You can't make friends, but enemies come without any work at all, right? You know, like that. So that means these are all the reactions to sinful activities, right? It's just you're having problems with all these things. Old age against which there's no remedy, the pangs of diseases, afflictions of many various kinds, and finally unconquerable death. In other words, birth, death, old age, and disease, it's going to happen. So that's just the reaction of being in the material world. You know, you act nicer in the material world, and it's a little bit better, the situation of birth, death, old age, and disease. You'd act not so nice, and it's not so nice, these situations of birth, death, old age, and disease. But in any case, the material world means birth, death, old age, and disease. It's not that there's some way to avoid that. But with whatever disposition of mind a man forms any act, he reaps its result in the future body endowed with the same quality. So whatever's the attitude, the mood, the endeavor, that's what kind of form you'll get. So if it's recommended, it's improved, it's of good quality, then it's a better situation. If it's of less, then it's a lesser situation. All the results proceeding from actions have thus been pointed out. Learn next those acts which secure supreme bliss to a brahmana. Supreme bliss. Okay. Topic 25. Right? The manner of obtaining supreme bliss. The best means for attaining supreme bliss. Studying the Veda, practicing austerities, the acquisition of true knowledge, subjugations of the organs, abstention from doing injury, and serving the guru are the best means for attaining supreme bliss. All right, so those are all things that are mentioned, the good mode of goodness. These are what were mentioned for elevation, everything. So these are the best of everything that one can do. Vriti, with regards to the practice of austerities, the pursuit of sacred knowledge is the austerity of a Brahmin. Protecting the people is the austerity of a Kshatriya. Pursuit of his daily business is the austerity of a Vaishya, and service is the austerity of a Shudra. That's from 11.236. The acquisition of true knowledge indicates the hearing, contemplation, and application of Vedanta. Right? Because here, they'll say knowledge, but then when they say true knowledge, that's always meaning the higher, the transcendental. If you ask whether among all these virtuous acts performed here below, there be one which has been declared more efficacious than the rest, for securing supreme happiness to man. The answer is that the knowledge of the soul is stated to be the most excellent among all of them, for that is the first of all sciences, because immortality is gained through that. Right? So in other words, acquisition of true knowledge, in other words, that study of Vedanta. So that's the best of all of them. The answer that... Among those six kinds of actions enumerated above, the performance of the acts taught in the Veda must ever be held to be more efficacious for ensuring happiness in this world and the next. Okay. The six acts are mentioned in verse 83. Okay, yeah. So all of them are efficient, but the most efficient is Vedanta.
Leads to all the others.
Yeah, because you perform all the others. Because otherwise, you perform all the others. If Vedanta's there, not there, then it means it'll lead to happiness, but not supreme, right? The Karmakandiya will think that the material happiness, heavenly happiness, good facilities, that's supreme bliss, right? For the impersonalist, he'll think then coming to the platform, liberation is a supreme bliss. But in actuality, it means the Supreme Lord. Because it mentioned before, sannyasa is tridandi. So that means body, mind, and words engaged in the Lord's service. Right? So that means, and that's where you study Vedanta. That's what the duty is. So we can see is through, they're pointing out that the Vaishnava position is actually the best. For in the performance of acts prescribed by the Vedas, all those others are fully comprised, each in its turn in the several rules for the rites. So in other words, when you do one, you have to do all the others. They're already included. You know, just like what I was mentioning about the king. There's seven angas of the kingdom. So each one, there's an order of which one's more important, but at the same time, each one requires all the other ones. So you want all seven. But if you're can't have seven, you only have six, then you drop off the bottom one. And if you only have one, at least you should have the king. Right? The king will then get the others. Right? So in here is that if nothing else, if you can do all of them, that's the standard. That would be normal, because that would be the thing. But if nothing else, at least one studying the transcendental literature. But in studying the transcendental literature, naturally you're going to study, you know, all the literatures. You're going to be performing your duties. You're going to be controlling the senses. You're going to be avoiding injury, and you're going to be serving the guru. Right? So they all go together. The point is that it's that understanding the philosophy properly is what's going to situate you properly. You understand it properly, then you'll serve Guru properly. Then you get the proper blessings. Then you advance nicely. Pravritti and Nivritti. The acts prescribed by the Vedas are of two kinds, such as procure an increase of happiness and cause a continuation of mundane existence, pravritta, and such as ensure supreme bliss and a cause a cessation of mundane existence, nivritta. Right? Like that. Nivritti, in his purport to Srimad Bhagavatam 178, Srila Prabhupada states, Srimad Bhagavatam is the science of following the path of Nivritti Marg. The path of Pravritti Marg was condemned by Narada. That path is the natural incarnation for all conditioned souls. The theme of Srimad Bhagavatam is the cure of the materialistic disease of the human being, or stopping completely the pangs of material existence. Right? So that path which you give up the attachment to the material world, that's Nivritti. That path which you increase your attachment to the world, that's called Pravritti. Acts which secure the fulfillment of wishes in this world or in the next are called Pravritta, such as cause a continuation of mundane existence. But acts performed without any desire for a reward, preceded by acquisition of true knowledge, are declared to be nivritta, such as cause the cessation of mundane existence. Right? Because you can do something without something for yourself, but if it's not preceded by transcendental knowledge, it won't give you that result. You might get a better material result. Right, you're trying to please your family with nothing for yourself and all that, but that will continue your material existence, but on a better level. You know what I'm saying? Like that. But if it's with transcendental knowledge, then it's being performed because that's your duty. Then that will cause the cessation of material existence. Yes.
Whereas following Daivi Varnashram properly, then that's nivritta.
Yeah, that would be Navrita. Even though one may grihastha have facility and this and that, you're doing because that's the duties and it's connected to Krishna. So that's what we're saying is Varnashram is you know, it has all the facilities, but generally it's Pravritti. Daiva Varnashram is Nivritti.
Right, so within the Nivritti, it's Pravritti Nivritti.
Yeah, within Nivritti it's Pravritti Nivritti. And within the Pravritti it's Pravritti Nivritti. About that, there's a paper somewhere around about that. We made a paper on that. Okay, the statement or in the next is the first part of the verse indicates in the next material birth. He who diligently performs acts leading to future births, pravritta, becomes equal to the gods, but he who is intent on the performance of those causing the cessation of existence, nivritta, indeed passes beyond the reach of the five elements. Right? Becoming equal to the gods indicates heaven, whereas passing beyond the reach of the five elements indicates obtaining liberation. Right? So, you know, they're both elevating, but one within this world, and one takes one beyond. right? So if one actually is understanding Vedanta, then one is doing it to develop love for Krishna, right? So then it'll take you beyond and into the spiritual world. He who sacrifices to the self alone, equally recognizing the self in all created beings, and all created beings in the self, becomes independent like an autocrat and self-luminous. Right, so the self here meaning the super soul. Right, because otherwise the self and all created beings at the same time is also seeing all beings in the self. Right. Oh, he says that. Yeah, he says that's the next. Become independent like an autocrat and self-luminous. So he's free from the material world. It mentions both. He sees the Lord in everything, but he sees all living entities in the Lord. Right? Because that was the point being made this morning, was that one deals nicely with everybody, properly with everybody, because you see everyone as part and parcel of the Lord. The neophyte tends to select who they deal nicely with, who they don't. Right? So that's the thing. But one sees all in connection with the Lord, therefore it works nicer. Right, so this is the advancement. So one is freed from the material entanglement. After giving up even the above mentioned sacrificial rites, Brahmana should exert himself in acquiring the knowledge of the soul, in extinguishing his passions, and in studying the Veda. Right, because you're studying the Veda, but why are you studying the Veda? You're supposed to try to understand the knowledge of the soul. Right? Otherwise, you're studying the Veda just for general knowledge or for that way you can improve your material condition, then that's not important. Right? So giving up the above-mentioned sacrificial rites indicates cessation of fruit of activities, pravrita. Right? So he gives up pravrita and takes up nivrita. For that secures the attainment of the object of existence. Right? We're existing because we're supposed to go back to Godhead. Right? We're not existing to continue our existence here. Right? That's not the point. Right? You're not making money so that you therefore have the energy to make money. Right? Especially in the case of a Brahmana, because by obtaining that, not otherwise, the twice-born man has gained all his ends. Right? So the twice-born man, unless he attains transcendence, he actually is not getting the benefit of his work. Right? Because that's directed at that. He's supposed to study. He's supposed to do all these things. Now, as a human being, everybody's supposed to be God conscious. Right? So, but that's as a person. But here it's saying even their duties, they're meant for self-realization. So there's no other purpose to Brahmashati and Vaishya activities than self-realization. The Veda is the eternal eye of the mains, gods, and men. The Veda ordinance is both beyond the sphere of human power and beyond the sphere of human comprehension. That is a fact. Right? The ordinance of the Veda are not subject to popular convention, are accessible only by the grace of the Parampara. So the tendency is that we can think, oh, I can do whatever I want. The point is it's Kali Yuga, I don't have to follow something. Who said? And even if there is some adjustments, as it mentions, when the sages gave the rules, they gave alternatives for when it's not possible to do. But it's not possible to do, not you don't want to do it. There's a difference. Right? So the point is you still have to accomplish it, even if it's accomplished in an alternative way. Does that make sense? Doctrines to be rejected. All those traditions, smriti, and those despicable systems of philosophy which are not based on the Veda produce no reward after death, for they are declared to be founded on darkness. Right? So ignorance isn't going to give any proper result. All those doctors, doctrines, differing doctors, yeah, it means yes, foods, differing from the Vedas, which spring up and soon perish, are worthless and false because they are of modern date. And this was spoken millions of years ago. Right? Because modern simply means not Vedic, and therefore it's only existing in the present. Because modern means what's going on right now. Right? And it's always changing, as it mentioned here. Which spring up and soon perish. They're up and then they're gone. Right? Because it's just moving in the modes. So they don't have any, they don't last. So something like that, that's the mode of ignorance. The forecast, the supreme source of knowledge. The forecast, the three worlds, the four orders, the past, the present, and the future are all severally known by means of the Vedas. Right? One can understand all that by the Veda. Sound, touch, color, taste, and fifthly smell are known through the Veda alone. Their production is through the Vedic rites, which in this respect are secondary acts. The Vedic rites are secondary acts because cultivating knowledge of the Supreme Soul is the primary act. Right? So you know what these things are, but you actually only know what is proper, what's real smell, real touch, real taste, real, you know, what to see by the Veda. Because if you don't follow the Veda, then whatever is the particular taste that you have in the way of these various senses, that's the particular birth you'll take that you know, has that facility. Right? Humans are meant to deal and engage the senses in a particular way. You follow it, it works. You don't follow it, it doesn't work. Right? And so therefore, the rites are secondary to the knowledge. Right? Performance of the rites with the with transcendental knowledge gives good benefit. Performance of the rites without transcendental knowledge doesn't give much benefit. It doesn't give the proper benefit. You'll get mundane benefit. Having the knowledge, then you can say you really have the knowledge if you apply it. If you just have knowledge and don't apply it, it's not actually having the knowledge. The eternal lore of the Veda upholds all created beings. Hence, I hold that to be supreme, which is the means of securing happiness to these creatures. Right? Everybody becomes happy because the human beings are performing their duties. Everything goes nicely in the universe, so all living entities are happy. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's supposed to be, you know, the sun's out. You know, it's clear, it's not cloudy and rainy, and it's cold, right? So we don't like it. The animals don't like it either, right? So they're also suffering. So the point is, you follow the Veda, everybody does okay, you know? But nowadays, of course, everyone only worries about themselves and their rights. So what about you perform the duties and all the animals are happy also, right? Nobody thinks about that one. Well, actually, they do worry about the animals. They worry if I dress like this, the animals won't like it. Yes.
The devas, are they fully dependent upon human performance of sacrifice, or do they have other means of subsistence outside of that?
No, it's from before, but it's generally it'll be there. That's why the demons know if they target that you get stop all the sacrifices, stops there. But because that's supposed to happen, therefore there'll be that higher intervention, and it'll be corrupted. Because that's the way the universe is designed. So you can never actually stop it.
You know? What do you mean by higher?
Higher?
How you said higher intervention?
Higher intervention.
Yeah. Or intervenience?
Yeah, you know, it means you get all those ladies together, they all got the blue hair, you know, like that. They went down and got the perm and all that. So they get together, hold hands around the Ouija board, you know, like that. That's the divine intervention. They got to have blue hair. It's a very, very light tint. It's not like blue, you know. It's
blue rinse set.
Yeah, blue rinse set, yes. That would be the technical terminology. Excuse me, thank you. Doesn't make any sense.
The question was that if.
But I mean, say, why did you catch the word divine intervention? What did?
Why did I catch that?
I mean, what didn't make sense?
No, it's just because he asked if the divas, if they don't receive the human sacrifice. Then do they
have something else to do.
Yeah, do they have other means to... And then there was this about the demons that, you know, the demons, they...
Okay, so you're taking divine meaning demigods here. The divine means what's above them, because then they'll go to Brahma, Brahma will go to Vishnu, and then Vishnu will make some arrangement. Okay? You know, it's just standard. What happens in the Bhagavatam all the time, like that. You know, when it gets out of whack, then Krishna always comes, like that. That's what all the incarnations are doing two things. One, they're performing their pastimes that attracts the minds of the devotee, but at the same time as they're putting things back into order that the demons have thrown out of order. Does that make sense? So that's the... So divine here meaning the Lord. Like that. Okay.
Or is it just they can tell, like, something's going wrong on earth because the sumatha just dries up, like,
oh,
trying to get a pint.
No, pint, small time. What about, you know, a yard. At least a half yard, right? You know. Okay, so we'll stop here. Continue tomorrow with the detail.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
What do you call it? Blue?
Blue rinse set.
Blue rinse set.
Just a rinse set.
Okay, but the set means...
Set means that group of people. The blue rinse set.
Oh, the blue rinse set, not the set meaning the purr.